Oh, that's right. We're staying alive over here, and today we have the one and only Brian Hope, who is running for Senate. You may know him as an auctioneer. You may know him as a real estate person and a rodeo clown, too.
You got that right. I've been clowning rodeos 45 years.
45 years. How'd you get into rodeos?
I was too lazy to work and too scared to steal, so I had to do something. So,
God almighty. That from an Eagle Scout. Oh, my God. What is happening here today, Brian?
That's always been a real comical answer. I don't know. I rode bulls and broncs and stuff like that when I was younger, and I started wanting to be funny and fight bulls, so I started that when I was 15 years old and been going ever since.
I guess that's allowed you to travel all over the country.
I've been to just about all 50 of the states here and then in Canada. I've been to the Calgary Stampede twice, so I've had the opportunity to take my family all over the country, see all the great sights, and meet a lot of interesting people. So I've had the opportunity to get in communities and see what works for communities and what doesn't work for communities, and I'm ready to apply that to our state and our community here now.
Well, I mean, when you were traveling, though, as a rodeo clown, you weren't there very long, were you?
Most of the time, we'd be there a week. We'd get there on Sunday or Monday and then stay for the whole week for the rodeo and do PR stuff. And then rodeo most time are out west there, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then we'd leave again and go to the next one. And like a carnival unit,
like a
I
carnival,
guess.
Yeah. Well,
have a good time.
I'm sure it can be fun. But I'm sure it's also a little dangerous, too.
It is, especially when I was younger. I'm too fat, old, and slow now to do the dangerous stuff, but I stand back and just talk and have a good time and try to make people laugh and enjoy themselves for about 2 hours, just take all the stress away from them and have a good time.
So when are you having the next rodeo here in Greenwood? Because there's a whole lot of stress going on.
There is. We were scheduled for April the 4th, and of course the pandemic hit, so we had to back it off, and until they relax things, I'm not even going to try to set a date.
Right.
I'm just going to wait and just see how it all flushes out, and hopefully by September we could have one. If not, it'll be, next April before we have another.
Wow. Well, you are running for the Senate. You are running for the seat that Floyd Nicholson currently holds, and this is your second, third time.
I ran the first time when Senator Drummond retired, mm-hmm. and there was five of us in the primary, and that's the year D. Compton got the nomination, and he ran against Mr. Floyd, and Mr. Floyd won. And then I ran 4 years ago, and at that time I got more votes than any Republican had ever gotten for this seat.
I think it's very, it was 80, what was it, 90, you got within 3 points, 961 votes,
yeah,
with all precincts reporting. And let's see, it was, what were the two, Abbeville and Saluda were the two counties that you won.
That's right.
And pretty close in McCormick, about 300 votes, and Greenwood, it was about 2,000, yeah. Well, anyways, it made up about 900 votes.
Right.
Were you surprised? I mean, come on, be serious. Yeah, Were you really surprised?
I really was. The total number of the whole deal in the whole district, I had 18,300 some votes, and he had 19,200 in the whole district wide. And it's less than 1,000 votes that he beat
961. Yep, that's what they
say.
So that was a pretty close race.
It was 4 years ago, and I did everything by myself. I did it all by
you
just
did it
myself.
All.
But this year I've had a counseling team and a campaign team out of Columbia helping me a lot. And,
oh, you got one of those insiders down there doing the job for you? Is that
what it is? Matter of fact.
Come on now, Brian. Mess up here.
The man that's head of the Ivory Tusk is the name of the outfit.
Right.
He's also running for the House of Representatives in Irmo.
Mm-hmm.
So he's running too. So we've had a good time. These guys.
Has he given you any tips?
Yeah, they've told me a lot of good stuff, and we've done a lot of stuff that they wanted to do, and we've done some stuff that I wanted to do. And so it's working out really good. We got a video on our webpage. I don't know if you got to watch it today. It's on votebrianhope.com, but it's a video, about 3 or 4 minute long video, and it just tells everybody who I am and what I stand for, and what you see is what I am. I mean, I'm not. You can hear by the way I talk, I'm not a lawyer. And I'm just
Now I gotta beg to differ. I have heard lawyers talk like you, Brian. Now don't be giving us that type of answer. Come on now, Brian.
And I'm just a conservative. I've been conservative all my life. I just want to stand up and represent the people in the district here in Saluda County and McCormick County, Abel County, Greenwood County, and we have such a diverse district.
We do.
You can go all the way down to Lake Murray. We go all the way to Lake Murray, and we got the lake people there. We got lake people in Greenwood. We got Lake Succession. We got over on the Savannah River and all the lakes over there. We got farmers down in Saluda over in Abel County. We got a lot of people that work in mills and plants here in Greenwood. So we've got a wide range of people.
We do. And I think one of the things I wanted to ask you, since your platform and everything, is what would you consider, if you were elected to that office, what would be the most important thing for you to start off with?
I'm real big on the abortion issue, and I'm going to stand strong. I'm pro-life 100%, and I want to make sure that I can stand up for that. And every time any of those issues are brought forward, I need to be in the front line attacking that, because that's murdering a child. That's murder. I mean, that's all it is. Mm-hmm. Plain and simple. That's what.
So
it
you
is.
Support John McCravey and
John McCravey and the heartbeat bill, and it's not brought before the Senate because they're worried about a filibuster. Well, I'll sit there all week if I have to. But it's
there is a very big difference between the Senate and the House.
Yeah.
The Senate is much slower in moving things.
That's right.
And I think that was the way it was originally designed, mm-hmm. is to have one that moves quicker and one that moves faster, but. The Senate really hasn't gotten a lot done in the last few years.
No, ma'am. They sure haven't. But now I will say this. There has been votes, and our senator has voted more than 5 times to allow abortions, up to 5 months, mm-hmm. if that's what it took. So we got to stand up against that, 100% against that.
And don't you think if it ever gets to the Senate that it will?
I sure hope so. That's the reason it was told to me it hadn't been brought before the Senate, because they're worried about filibuster. And so,
but do you have anything, Brian, do you have anything as far as a new legislation, new thing that you think is important to bring up? I mean, when somebody becomes a senator or a House of Representatives, they always have something they want to bring up. That's going to be their thing.
No, I really don't have anything that I want to bring forward. I want to stand up for what we've got going on now. I want to stand, I tell you what I do. I'm for.
I do. Well, it sounds like an auctioneer here.
I am for term limitation. I think that after a person's there so many years, it's time to step out and let a new face with new ideas come in there. And whether that year be for the Senate, we have 4 years in the Senate and 2 years in the House. Whether that be 2 terms or 3 terms, I have yet to realize, because I hadn't been down there. So,
what people say about term limits, right?
What's that?
Well, the person that you ask that to always says, the public has the right to vote me out, so that I am always term limited if the public wants to vote me out. So, I mean, and I think it would be very hard to get people to vote for them to be term limited. That's been an issue that's been going on in the federal offices.
That's right.
And they haven't seemed to get anywhere on it.
Right. I'm real excited about going down there and working for the education and for our school systems.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really big on that. My wife's been a school teacher for 34 years, and my oldest daughter's a teacher. So every night at supper table, I have felt like I've been to school myself for 34 years.
I think a lot of people would vote for the fact of raising teachers' pay after what they've been through with having to homeschool their own children.
Oh, yeah.
But then there's the budget side to this also, which becomes a problem. I notice Molly Spearman wanted a lot of money for this summer to help the children that are most behind, children on reading and arithmetic, and have a summer school, and this Accelerate South Carolina has said we don't have the money to do that. They're not going to put the money into it, even though there is money coming from the federal government. And a lot of people have wanted to up the teachers' pay. But as a senator, one of the things you're always working with, the how much money you got versus how much money you'd like to spend.
That's right. You're exactly right. We'd have to figure that out. We'd have to come up with ways to eliminate those problems if the insurance companies can give back $97 billion. Surely that we could partner with some industries that are especially here in our district and try to get some revenue from them. I'm not in favor of tax raising. So, I mean, you're right. That is a big issue of to how we get more money to pay the teachers more money. And I'm not in favor of a blanket raise, but I do know that the teacher's salary is lower than my wife's niece went to work at a company here in town, and my wife had been teaching 26 years at that time, and her starting pay was $6,000 more than my wife was when she'd been there 24, 26 years.
Oh, it's pitiful. It is pitiful. I'm not making an issue to that. Yep. But and then when you look at bringing all these kids back to school in the fall, they're talking about some recommendations, I guess they're called.
Right, from the CDC.
From the CDC, with one child in one seat and every other seat. I mean, I don't know how we can, as a state, or how any state, for that matter, can afford to do these type of things.
They'd have to run the bus route four times to get to enough kids there. And then I have heard that they were maybe going to send half the kids in the morning, half the kids in the evening. There's a lot of things that's been kicked around. But I think it's too early now to decide. Let's see how the virus goes, and then we could.
I think we ought to see how it goes after Memorial Day weekend. See if we have any spike in cases. Everybody was just so excited to be out.
You got that right. There were a lot of people out stirring. So, you know, within 14 days, we'd know the answer to that. So,
that's true. So, if you were in the Senate, what's some of the biggest change? What big change would you like to see, or changes you would like to see the way the Senate operates, what they do, how things come? You know, what have you, since you've been, this is your third try at this, you must have some ideas on how you'd like to see the Senate operate.
I would like to see it operate faster, as you just said, and that's always backwards to me, because there's 46 senators, there's more House of Representatives, but they're quicker than the Senate is. So, I mean, that's backwards.
Right.
You got more people deciding. But we do need to work faster. We need to work with more transparency. I think that's the main thing, is let people know what's going on down there. And the problem a lot of times, and people don't understand it, they say, well, how come they gave themselves a raise? Well, they also benefited the roads $6 billion, but gave themselves a raise in that small line, you know. And so I think that needs to be worked on, too.
What do you mean? What do you exactly mean by that?
How bills are written and how it's like the pandemic relief, you know, and how the one party put, what was it, $23 billion into a library fund, or, but that's how things
are, into the Met, yes.
How things are written in there, and that it needs to be clarified so that people understand how they do things. In 96, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, there was a company working on sidewalks all winter long. He was redoing the sidewalks, and everybody's mad because they're redoing the sidewalks, but they weren't doing the roads. Mm-hmm. But the money was designated as sidewalk control.
And if I remember correctly, that was all federal money, so
there
was not something.
So there's
that,
no choice you can make.
Yeah,
and
true.
This and the school system's the same way a lot of times, because in 96, again, 2 years ago, they had another four-year-old program, but it was all federally funded money. So they're the ones that paid that teacher to come in. That's the reason we got an extra teacher that year. So I think that needs to be more transparent. When people understand that, then they don't get mad at the principals and the teachers for having an extra teacher, you know. So
we're going to have a lot of problems coming out of this COVID-19, trying to get our people back to work and everything. One of the things that has surprised me is that I think Governor McMaster has done a pretty good job, but I don't think he's had much input from the House and from the Senate. You know, they just ended up staying home.
Right. I did.
I find that hard to believe that they couldn't be involved in the process. Would we have had a different outcome for our state, do you think, if they had been involved? And why? Why should they be able to stay at home?
That's a very good question. very good question. I don't know how to answer that, because there's some things that I know that the governor can't change because it's not in his power to do so,
right.
And such as an election coming up on the primary June the 9th. We couldn't change that. Whether you like mail by vote by mail or show up or not, we can't change that without it going to a major change in the state.
Well, I think that's my point, is that, and it's just like we don't have a budget. They just passed it on till the fall when they decide to come back and do this. I think that's a travesty. We have conditions that need to be met. One of our big problems is going to be the fact that we don't have the money coming in from tourism, so we don't have the gas tax money. So a lot of DOT projects, the ones I guess that are in progress are okay, but the ones that are coming up may not get funded.
Right.
It's kind of like the sales tax for here in our community, the 1%.
1%.
Yeah, they're supposed to fund all these projects.
Right, and that's going to be down too. And
so I think that the person that ends up with this job is going to have a heck of a time trying to figure things out. We went through several years where we didn't have enough money to pay for things. Then they got that windfall with the sales tax from Amazon, ended up with a windfall there. Fortunately, I guess that we could say that they didn't go ahead and give out $50 to everybody. They held on to the money because the Senate is so deliberative.
Right. Somebody did ask me what would be the first thing that I did if I was elected to the Senate, and I told them the first thing I'd have to do is go buy me some more clothes because mine don't fit in down there. I'd have to wear a suit and a tie down there. So
you'd have to buy clothes, is that what you're saying?
I would have to, because you see how I dress, and this is how I am. This is a person I am, you know, and even though I'm running for the Senate, and I will dress up if I have to, this is who I am and who I want to tell people I am, that I'm just a common person. I'm a common guy. I'm a businessman. I've got like five jobs, as you've said, and I hustle every day, and I just want to hustle in a different way and help the people in the district. In Greenwood County, and we got a big district. A lot of people don't know it, but we got half of Saluda County from like Main Street up. We got half of McCormick County from 378 North. We got most of Greenwood County and most of Abbeville County. Up in Abbeville, the panhandle where between Due West and Donald's, there's an elementary school there. And on the east side of that is in not in our district. And then it comes all the way down, almost like Highway 25, all the way down past the mall and out Highway 10 a little bit, and then cuts back over to Abbeville County. All that is not in our district. And so we have a lot of districts. It's a big county, a big counties that our district serves. So we have a lot of work to do.
You do have a lot of work to do. And I think that how come you never ran for another office, like, you know, a school board or town council or any of these other offices? Yeah, you're just jumping right into the Senate race here.
Well, I think that's the most I could assist people in the biggest district, not the House, not the county, not our school district. But I want to assist as most people as I can and try to help out all I can.
Well, what do you mean by help out, though?
Our school's got a problem, I want to help. I'll tell you a problem that I'm going to address it when I'm elected. The dive team in Abbeville County, most of their tanks are out of date. Most of their equipment's out of date. So if they're going to look for somebody that's had trouble on the lakes over there, they don't have proper equipment. So I want to help those guys and get the right equipment for those guys that are going to risk their life trying to help somebody. And I imagine here in Greenwood County, our dive team is probably the same situation through the Sheriff's Department or through the Department of Natural Resources. It's all going to be the same trying to get help people. That's just a small instance. I just wanted to show you what I'm talking about. I want to help if the industry's coming into town. I want to help more, get more industry in here, get more jobs.
Well, you know, then are you going to do something about the crime rate? Because that's the biggest hindrance to us getting more industry and more people moving in.
And part of the, we had another opportunity for a company to come into Greenwood. And the answer they gave that they weren't coming in is because the workforce was not educated in that means. And that doesn't mean a college education. That means people that's available to run forklifts, that's able to run a computer, to run a robot.
I think that the answer to that is the manufacturing center, the Odell Manufacturing
right.
Center, which is getting close to being ready to open.
Right. We can start at the high school level and start those students and let them go. As soon as they get out of high school, they're ready to go to work in a manufacturing job. And the great news, Delahow mm-hmm. is soon going to become a governor's school.
Agricultural. Yes.
And so I'm excited about that, too. I know that's in McCormick County. That's in our district, though.
Right.
And it's going to be a great thing for our state. And our district.
Sure. Well, let me ask you something. Since being a senator takes quite a bit of time, and you've got all these different jobs that you're doing, how are you gonna balance those balls? Just out of curiosity.
Well, such as this year, I didn't book any very many rodeos in the fall.
Well, you don't get paid a lot being a senator. I just think you should know this, Brian.
Oh, yeah. I've done some research on that, too.
I mean, if you're doing it for the money, that's the wrong reason. Okay, go ahead.
That's exactly right. But I'll just schedule things around it. Most of my auction jobs are on Saturday, so I'll be able to go to most of them. I could plan the rodeos that I want to schedule. Like I say, I've been at it 45 years, and reach a certain level that I can kind of pick and choose and where I want to go and where I don't want to go. So it'll all work out. That's the same thing with real estate and clowning and auctioneering. You can just make it all work together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I just think it would be difficult because they all take time.
It will. It'll be difficult, but I've done a whole lot of difficult things all my life. When I went to Lander, when I graduated from Lander, I worked full time the whole time, and then I went to Furman to graduate school, and I had a job that I was going to get over here at Lander to teach, and that program fell apart that I was going to get to take part in, and that's when I started rodeoing really hard then, and
it's always good to have a backup career.
Oh yeah, for 10 years I had over 100 performances a year rodeoing, so I had opportunity to go and learn a lot and see a lot of people and do a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, what would you like the folks to know about you who are listening here this afternoon on WCRS?
I am the true conservative candidate. I'm a Christian man. I love the Lord. I want to serve the Lord. I've been to over 20 foreign mission trips, most of them with disaster relief. I've served on our deacon board like maybe 5 times at 3-year terms at a time. I'm a family man. I've got 3 children, got 4 grandchildren. I love being with them and doing things for them. And if I don't step up now and try to make things better in our state, then when they're grown and their children are grown, it'll be a bad mess. So I want to step up, and I want to that's my wife's calling already, so I must have struck a nerve with her. So but I am the conservative Christian candidate, and I've been a conservative all my life, not just since I started running for the office. And that's what I want people to know, and that's where I stand. I'm against abortion. I'm pro-life. I'm strong on the Second Amendment. I'm a hunter. I own guns. I'm going to stand up for that. I want to serve people. That's what I want to do.
Well, I think that's an honorable mission. That's an honorable mission, and you certainly have a varied background. You don't come at it from just one way, so you've got a lot of input there. You had a good run the last time, so let's see where it goes this time, right?
I think so. We're gonna go at it hard. You can vote now. Mm-hmm. Early absentee voting.
Absentee
voting. June the 9th, which is 2 weeks from today, is the election, and we'll know about 7:30 or somewhere like that. Well, last time it was after that, but it was the general election. But we'll know who's going to move on, and whoever moves on, we've got to stand together and stand strong and unseat the senator that we have now.
Yes, that is true. So let me just ask you a question. How do you think President Trump is going to do here in this next election?
I think he's going to do very, very well. I think it's going to be a huge landslide.
Landslide, yeah.
I do truly believe that. And there's going to be a lot of voters from the Democratic Party that's going to vote for President Trump. I think our Senator Tim Scott is pulling strong for him, and I think the following that he has through being an African American is going to follow him too through there. So I think we're going to do good
in
November.
And I guess you like President Trump.
I do.
Yep.
I do.
Okay. I knew you did. I just asked that for fun. So have you got anything else you want to tell us? We're almost out of time. So is there anything else you'd like to tell us there, Brian?
I'd just like for everybody to get out and vote June the 9th. I want your support. I appreciate your support, the ones that's already supported me and allowed me to put signs up and come to your house and donate money to the campaign. I thank you all for that. But we need to step up. The Christians need to stand together and band together. And whether you go to a Methodist, a Baptist, or a Pentecostal church, it doesn't matter. If you're a believer, we need to stand up and stand together.
What about the Catholics?
The Catholics, too. We want them all. We want everybody.
All right. Hey, you've been listening to Ann Eller and Brian Hope. He is a candidate for senator, and he has been on WCRS right here in Greenwood, South Carolina. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Brian, for coming out.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Bye-bye, everybody.